whatever happened to civility? Boy, within hours of Senator McCain passing insults, things flying around online, what happened to us?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have we always been this nasty? Have we always been this uncivil? Have we always had so little respect for the dead or for the families that are grieving or just a lack of decency in general? Have we always been this bad? Hey, friends, welcome to the Monday broadcast of The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here. I hope you had a great week. I want to be constructive. I want to be helpful. I want to function, as always, as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. I was shopping at Walmart last night. Oh, I sent out a tweet, an urgent tweet, very important question. Say, am I the only one that always gets the shopping cart with a defective wheel? Turns out, no, I'm not the only one. I just couldn't resist that. But anyway, while checking out, a gentleman came walking by and said, Dr. Brown, love your show, love listening to your radio show. And of course, we hear that all the time, not just through email and text, but running into folks that tell us, which means I take this time really seriously. I take this time really, really seriously. And I always pray, it's my heart prayer, that the time we have together will be meaningful, impactful in your life. I know that some of you are more casual listeners, but there are a million other things you could be listening to right now or watching. So I take this time seriously, and I believe our discussion today is going to be more light than heat, more helpful, not stirring up gossip and strife, but ultimately helpful. Now, I have a question for you. I posted this on Twitter in poll form, and I asked this: what's your take on the extreme incivility in America today? I wish it was extreme civility. What's your take on the extreme incivility in America today? Was it here long before Trump? Is it mainly because of Trump? Or has he made a bad situation worse? I just want to get your take. I just want your opinion, your feedback. What prompted me to address this is not the fact that day and night people are bashing each other and slashing each other and attacking each other online in the foulest, ugliest, crudest ways. To me, this is a symptom of human nature that is fallen, that is flawed, that is sinful, and it's just become more manifest through social media. In other words, a lot of people will write something that they wouldn't say, or they will write something that they wouldn't say face to face, or they would write something where they can hide behind anonymity or at least the distance of the internet. And you're finding out a lot of junk, a lot of stuff that people might not have communicated, they are communicating. Did you ever get a letter like that from someone and you thought you were friends and everything was good for years, and then they send you something and say, it's a little hard for me to say this, so I decided to write it. You're like, yikes, that's how you felt? All this time, I had no idea. Well, now we get a better idea. Now the gloves are off, so to say. And I know if you go through our history, there's been incivility. Just go back to the early presidential campaigns in America. Look at Adams, Jefferson, different ones fighting against each other. And you'll see some stuff that you think, oh, yikes. Even with our really nasty ads now, I don't know that it gets that bad. But people get savaged. You know, you want to run for political office, the higher up you get, the more you're going to get savaged. That much we know. That much we understand. But it seems to me that there's been some level of further degeneration. It seems to me that things have gotten uglier. Now, I have my own viewpoint on it as well, but I want to be practical and constructive in terms of what we can do to make things better. Here's the number to call, 866 3-4 truth. And my simple question, the anger, the hostility, the attacks going back and forth, have they been here for a while and they're just magnified now with social media and 24-hour news feeds, so it's constant bombardment and you get stirred up? And is it something that's really the result of the Trump presidency? And he's been such a volatile, divisive figure for good or for bad or for both. Is that it? Or is it that we've had a bad situation and the Trump presidency and the nature of who he is and what that's brought to the surface has made things even worse? Let me show you what happened on our own social media. So Facebook, we have about 560,000 followers, and folks are very active there, and we appreciate it. We love it. We love all the interaction. So I hadn't posted this. My team had posted the breaking news of the passing of Senator McCain at the age of 81. It's striking that he died of the exact same brain cancer that took the life of Ted Kennedy exactly 9 years earlier to the day. So he passes away, and I went over to Facebook, and I normally don't read the comments simply because there's not time to read all the comments that we get on social media. If I'm asking for feedback, I do my best to look at as much as possible. But we have lots of posts. Our team will post breaking news or a meme, a scripture, or a great saying from a Christian leader or something like that. So I'll interact as much as I can, but most of the time I can't. I'm writing, preparing, doing other things. So I started looking at some of the comments like, what in the world? Attacking Senator McCain? Speaking evil of him? Speaking derogatory, making derogatory comments about his service in the military and questioning whether he was a war hero? And like, what in the world? So I posted this on Facebook. I posted on Facebook an appeal saying, can we please stop? And if we've got the graphic, we'll put it up for you. I posted on Facebook an appeal saying, please, a little civility now. Friends, this is not the place for negative comments about Senator McCain. A little civility, please. If you challenge me here on my own Facebook page when I call for civility, you're asking to be blocked. So please take out your anger somewhere else. Thanks. You know, we never shy from confrontation and controversy here, but there's a time and place for everything. Now, those comments in parentheses, I added after some people like, well, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to speak my mind. I thought, not on my page when I'm asking you not to. When we give you a platform to interact with hundreds of thousands of people every single day, and we welcome all types of controversy, and literally, you can differ with me every single day, and you won't get blocked unless you engage in posting falsehoods or attacking in ugly ways or attacking other people by name in ugly ways. You can differ with me every day from here until we get offline one day or the radio show stops or whatever, or Jesus comes. That's fine, but a little respect. So even after I posted this, I spot this comment here, okay? Now, we blocked out the name when we put the graphic out. We blocked out the name. But here's a guy accusing, so this is on my Facebook page, and we deleted a bunch of comments. We decided not to block unless someone got really nasty, all right? But somebody posts this on Facebook, and he accuses the president, he accuses Senator McCain of being a Russiaphobe and a Serbophobe and engaging in war crimes. It's like, give it a break. Give it a break. Now, after this happened, and look, if you want to express differences with Senator McCain, if there are issues going on and you feel, hey, it's appropriate to address this or say that, oh, okay, I understand that. It's just a matter of respect, honor for someone that served, even if you differed with his politics, and just respect for the grieving family, even though, no, they're not reading my Facebook page or your Facebook page, but just respect for the grieving family. So I tweeted this out. Last night, I tweeted this out, and I asked the question, have we lost all civility? I tweeted out a simple question saying, whatever became of civility? Let me just read it to you directly. Here we go. What kind of sick world are we living in? We announced the passing of Senator McCain on Facebook, and some are pouring out vitriol against him, even wishing for his punishment in hell. God have mercy on these demented souls. Whatever happened to civility and respect? Now, I want to get to your calls as well and get your input and feedback. One gentleman, I've had him on the show before, Randall Rouser, professor in Canada, theology professor, and he'll often spar with me on Twitter. I try to respond to him as much as possible, just out of respect for him being a fellow professor and theologian, but he'll often differ with me, spar with me, challenge me. But if I ever bring up Trump, oh, he's going to rip. If I ever bring up Trump, he's going to rip. Or if Trump is there between the lines, he's going to rip. Now, remember, it was President Trump who went after John McCain and demeaned his service, demeaned him as a war hero, and went after him. And Senator McCain, who spoke very harshly against the president. And an official announcement from the McCain family said, the official announcement from the McCain family said they didn't want Trump at the funeral. And then Trump, from my understanding, rather than an official White House announcement going out, honoring him for his distinguished career, etc., just sent out a respectful tweet mentioning his passing and saying, you know, prayers for the family. And I thought, on the one hand, that may be the best thing he can do, because he's spoken against McCain. If he says something really nice now, it would seem cheap. Or perhaps he could have said, everyone knows the differences that existed between Senator McCain and me, but I honor him as a great American citizen. I honor him as a military hero. I honor him as someone who served our country, and I respect his memory. He could have said something like that. I think that would be something honorable. But there are people coming after Trump. I mean, celebrities coming after him in the harshest imaginable terms. And now a statement has been released today from Senator McCain. So he drafted this before his passing. And the question is, are there some subtle attacks on Trump in that? So we're going to talk about all this, but hear me. This is not a gossip column. Yeah, we'll read the full text when we come back. This is not a gossip column radio show. This is not tabloid sensationalism. I want to talk about how we can have differences and yet be respectful and honorable and follow good biblical principles of communication. Whatever the problem is, we know it's out there. Let's be ones who fix it, all right? We'll be right back. Go to your calls, look at the statement from Professor McCain and some other interesting tweets I received.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So I want to read this to you directly, all right? This was after my calling for civility and respect and say at least honor what I'm asking on my Facebook page, all right? And by the way, I was not a big supporter of Senator McCain. I voted for him, but with some reluctance because I didn't feel he'd be a strong enough conservative candidate as president and would not really fight for the things that were most important to me. But of course, I honored him for his service to our country in many, many different ways in the midst of my differences with him. And I regretted the battle that erupted between Senator McCain and President Trump. It doesn't matter who the person is. Unless it's Adolf Hitler or something, in which case you rejoice in the destruction of evil and mourn for the lost life and all the lives they took. But just a little civility and respect at a time like this, right? And that was the vast majority of people posting understood that. But look at this. This is, I want to read it to you exactly, this Russophobe, Serbophobe. And we took the guy's name out. He was Russianphobe and Serbophobe. He asked for Serbian schools and all institutions to be bombed. As a Baptist, I can say he deserved hell he is in now. His deeds have come after him. If you feel that way, then you talk to God about it. You talk to your family about it. But you don't post that for the world to see hours after someone's passing. And look, remember, The way we judge others is the way we're going to get judged. Just a little reminder. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll read Senator McCain's statement in a moment. But first, let's go to the phones. We'll start in Raleigh with Andrea. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes. I think the first thing that I'd want to cover is that I really feel that people have a heart problem, like a major heart problem, and that it's really amplified now by the internet. The internet, it gives the people the capability to say whatever they want and not see the repercussions of it. I was in front of you in person, I would not say what I feel like I wanted to say because I know that there would be repercussions. I could see it. I know it would happen. But I think that the internet gives people freedom to say what they want to say. And that, you know, I'm not there in front of you. And that some people, like now the younger generation, that was how they grew up with all this, it's like they don't, like it's taken away communication from people.
Yeah.
Because now they communicate on the internet. It's really, I think it's crippled a lot of the younger generation. Like even the older generation that know how to write, that, you know, use the internet, you know, they use it, but at least they have that, some of them may have that conscience.
Yeah, and so, Andrew, two points I want to jump on. One, the heart problem, which has been amplified by the internet, right? So I wouldn't have known what this Baptist guy believed or said if not for the internet. I would not have known him. He would not have known me. So a multitude of other opinions get expressed from people we never would have heard from. And these days, anyone's tweet, anyone's YouTube video, anyone's social media comment could go viral. And suddenly everybody's reading what somebody said we never heard of before. That's one thing. A second thing that you mentioned is the communication issue. And obviously, when you're sitting face to face with someone, you can weigh more how your words are going to affect them. You can see the reaction on their face when you begin to raise a subject. You can interact and go back and forth in a much more real way. And the humanity of the person is much more clearly seen and felt. But we have an increasing number of folks, especially young people growing up, who do most of their communication online, or at least much of their communication online, who are socially awkward, but can text, you know, God knows how many words a minute. And that creates another problem, that you don't have as much face-to-face interaction. Look, if you want to mentor someone, ideally, you want to mentor them face-to-face. When you're raising your kids, you have a unique environment of face-to-face life together, whereas you can only do that so much through an online extended community. So part of the breakdown of civility in our culture can also be tied, I think, to our lack of face-to-face quality interaction. Definitely plays in. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's go to Clay in Raleigh. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
God bless you on this wonderful last day of Monday of August. You know, I think it's interesting that you were bringing out a question about what is going on or what maybe might be wrong. And I was talking to the wonderful brother who, you know, monitors and listens to the calls. And he, just like me, he served in the Air Force just like I did. But, brother, I'll be honest with you. Here's my viewpoint. It seems to me that there's a bitterness among people that are not happy with certain things. And, you know, apparently people are not happy because of Trump still being president. But, you know, when... it's like I was sharing with the man earlier. I told him, I said, you know what? The people made a choice, and they are tired all the stuff that is going on. So to me, it's it starts with people being bitter. And I can't say that I used to be bitter. I'm not bitter anymore because, you know, being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, I know that I'm happy with what's going on. I know I'm comfortable with what's going on. And I can honestly say that I'm thankful that we are where we're at. Yes.
Yeah, and see, Clay, yeah, just to jump in. And by the way, Brenda on YouTube asked me to thank you for your service to our country. So I wanted to do that on Brenda's behalf. Here's what's interesting, Clay. You have a lot of people who are sick and tired of the constant attacks on Donald Trump. They're fed up. They think it's unfair. Think enough is enough. And it's producing, there's a backlash. So people are angry because Trump is president. And then others are angry because of the anger of those who are angry. Then you got on the flip side, those who are angry because of what President Trump himself provokes and the storm that he brings with him. Remember Governor Jeb Bush describing him as a chaos candidate. He's become a chaos president, not meaning that everything in his life is in chaos, but that he kind of brings a chaos with him, and it reveals a whole lot. And thank you, Clay, for weighing in. I appreciate it. I have a book. I can't say more yet. Any day I'll be able to. But quite amazingly, and I believe initiated by the Lord who moved on me, we're having a book come out very, very quickly. This will be one of the quickest books we ever got out and should be out a few weeks before the midterm elections on Donald Trump. I can't give you the title, subtitle yet, but when you hear it, I think you'll immediately want to say, I want that. I want to get that. I want to get 10 copies. I genuinely believe it when you hear what's in the book. But one of the things I explain in the book is that President Trump, with his wrecking ball effect, brings a lot of stuff to the surface. And you find out what's in a lot of people's hearts, for good or for bad. You find out just how extreme the liberal media can be. You find out just how radical the Democratic Party can be. You find out just how hypocritical many evangelicals can be. Yeah, there's a lot that comes to the surface. And have you ever been in a room with somebody that's got a bad temper and they act in ways that's just unacceptable, and and next thing you lose your temper and it's like they provoke something? You ever had, it's like they got something on them? Book of Proverbs warns about hanging out with hotheads, lest you become like them. I want to make a very public confession here, even though it just happened with one person. I got a call from someone last week. No, I called them to follow up on something, some money that I was to be reimbursed for something. And let's just say that when it came to what we were being reimbursed, we had gone over and beyond what anyone could expect. It was moving out of a rental house and done above and beyond what could be expected to leave things in the very best condition, and went above and beyond what needed to be done as tenants, even to try to save the landlord money and different things, to be conscientious, to do things at their own expense. And then I got word that the owner wanted to withhold this ridiculous amount of money, the realtor told me. And when I heard it, I immediately said, what? It happened, I'm telling you. It's very, very rare, but I instantly reacted. I mean, I got angry. What are you? And she said, don't worry. He's crazy. He's not, you're getting everything back. You know, you're getting reimbursed in full. And I thought, isn't that amazing? That's not me by God's grace. It used to be me. I used to have a terrible temper. It's not me, but I instantly got upset. And there was something about the situation and dealing with this guy that could provoke you a little bit. And there's something about President Trump, whether you love him or hate him, or you're neutral, hard to be neutral, right? But whether you love him or hate him, that he brings everything starts stirring. It's hard to just have the subject of President Trump in the room without a lot of emotions coming up. So what does it reveal about us? And how can we be part of the solution rather than the problem? That's where we're going when we come back. 866 34 Truth if you'd like to weigh in.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's the poll question that I posted on Twitter in response to the passing of Senator McCain, and then some people weighing in ugly terms attacking him and others then attacking President Trump. I asked the question, what kind of sick world are we living in? We announced the passing of Senator McCain on Facebook, and some are pouring out vitriol against him, even wishing for his punishment in hell. God have mercy on these demented souls. Whatever happened to civility and respect? And then I turned that into a poll question. What's your take on the extreme incivility in America today? Was it here long before Trump? Is it mainly because of Trump? Or has he made a bad situation worse? As always, I'm just looking for your viewpoint, not trying to ascertain truth. Interesting to see the responses on Twitter. What's your take? This is Michael Brown. Welcome to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Hey, before I get into this, on Saturday I went for my first ever tennis match, drove up to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, or drove over to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, with our grandson Andrew, one of our two grandsons. And we were having fun driving back and forth, talking about all kinds of different things, enjoyed the tennis match. And I had spoken at chapel service where he goes to Christian school. He was in middle school, then he's in high school now. And he brought up to me some months back, he said, oh, you know, another thing that the kid said was that your grandpa has a really nice voice. He's got a great voice to listen to. So we were laughing. So it's a little bit hard to be on radio with a really bad voice. Hard to have a radio show where your voice was so bad that people are like, ah, stop that. So I know some people don't like listening to me because they don't like what I have to say. But hopefully at least the voice is nice. 866-348-7884. So I tweeted out that comment about what kind of world are we living in. And then Professor Randall Rouser, who's been on the air with me and will often spar with me on Twitter and is an extreme critic of President Trump, he tweeted this in response. Tentative Apologist, that's his screen name, Randall Rouser. I'm surprised that you're surprised that vitriol comes straight from Donald Trump, who has been attacking McCain for several years. How can you not see the obvious? ! Well, I responded to him by saying that the incivility has been there from before the days of Donald Trump. I said, because I've seen it for quite some time now, years before Trump was on the scene. I've seen it when others died, even children of Christian leaders. I've seen it on the right and on the left. I've decried it for years. Don't blame everything on Trump, my friend. And then he had one more reply. And his further reply, he emphasized what Donald Trump had said in criticism of Senator McCain. Trump mocked McCain's POW status in Vietnam. He repeatedly attacked him at rallies for his Obamacare vote while encouraging boos and catcalls. He refused to fire the staff who said McCain is dying anyway. He said nothing of McCain's impending death even yesterday. He owns this. Now, again, I absolutely agree that President Trump has fanned the flames of incivility in the country with his style of leadership. As much as I am grateful, deeply grateful, for the good he's doing, I grieve over the unnecessary casualties along the way. The question is, what can we do to improve the situation? What can we do, regardless of whether we're radically left, politically radically right, whether we consider ourselves moderate or progressive or conservative, whether we're followers of Jesus or not? But in particular, those who are followers of Jesus and are therefore held to a biblical ethic, what can we do to improve the problem? I have been personally distressed sometimes to bring up even the other Christian leaders. Even in a meeting I had, the one meeting I had at the White House, not with President Trump, but with others working in the administration, with other evangelical leaders, they asked for thoughts, input, and I immediately said, look, we want to support the president for the good he's doing, and for standing for things that are important to us, but he takes two steps forward, then one step back or three steps back. And if he didn't have such volatile tweets and bash people the way he did, it would help. And someone in the meeting said, well, I'm glad, this is evangelical leader, I'm glad somebody's speaking their mind. Not like that. Not like that's a better way to do it. Look, and I want to read Senator McCain's statement. This is issued after his passing. I want to read that to you in a moment. But you ever let somebody in, you're on the road, it's a busy road, and someone's trying to get in, so you slow down so they can get in, and they wave to acknowledge it. You wave back with a smile. You ever have where they do it, just take off and don't even acknowledge it? You go, what? You get bothered. Or you're really trying to be friendly and pleasant to everybody, and somebody's nasty back to you, and suddenly you get provoked like you want to be nasty back. You know, it just shows how easy it is for the flesh to get riled. And then someone else comes in as a peacemaker, said, hey, friends, come on. We're friends. We're the same family. Can we just sit? And everything calms down. So there's some that get the temperature burning hot and the tensions rising in the room. We're called to be peacemakers. Oh, we're going to say things that are controversial. Oh, we're going to go against the grain. Or we're going to do and say things that are unpopular. But can we do it in a way where our manner of communication does not stir up trouble, but the things we say are constructive? Okay, here's the full text of the statement from Senator McCain. Obviously, not from the grave, supernaturally, friends, in case you didn't follow what happened. This is something he wrote to be released after his passing. My fellow Americans, who I've gratefully served for 60 years, and especially my fellow Arizonans, thank you for the privilege of serving you and for the rewarding life that service in uniform and in public office has allowed me to lead. I've tried to serve our country honorably. I've made mistakes, but I hope my love for America will be weighed favorably against them. I have often observed that I'm the luckiest person on earth. I feel that way even now as I prepare for the end of my life. I've loved my life, all of it. I've had experiences, adventures, and friendships, and they're for 10 satisfying lives, and I'm so thankful. Like most people, I have regrets, but I would not trade a day of my life in good or bad times for the best day of anyone else's. I owe that satisfaction to the love of my family. No man ever had a more loving wife or children he was prouder of than I am of mine. And I owe it to America, to be connected to America's causes. Liberty, equal justice, respect for the dignity of all people, brings happiness more sublime than life's fleeting pleasures. Our identities and sense of worth are not circumscribed, but enlarged by serving good causes bigger than ourselves. Fellow Americans, that association has meant more to me than any other. I lived and died a proud American. We are citizens of the world's greatest republic, a nation of ideals, not blood and soil. We are blessed and are a blessing to humanity when we uphold and advance those ideals at home and in the world. We have helped liberate more people from tyranny and poverty than ever before in history. We have acquired great wealth and power in the process. We weaken our greatness when we confuse our patriotism with tribal rivalries that have sown resentment and hatred and violence in all the corners of the globe. We weaken it when we hide behind walls rather than tear them down, when we doubt the power of ideals rather than trust them to be the great force for change they've always been. We are 325 million opinionated, vociferous individuals. We argue and compete and sometimes even vilify each other in our raucous public debates. But we have always had so much more in common with each other than in disagreement. If only we remember that and give each other the benefit of the presumption that we all love our country, we will get through these challenging times. We will come through them stronger than before. We always do. 10 years ago, I had the privilege to concede defeat in the election for president. I want to end my farewell to you with the heartfelt faith in Americans that I felt so powerfully that evening. I feel it powerfully still. Do not despair of our present difficulties, but believe always in the promise and greatness of America, because nothing is inevitable here. Americans never quit, we never surrender, we never hide from history, we make history. Farewell, fellow Americans. God bless you, and God bless America. Obviously, that's an intense thing to read, realizing he's gone from this world, and that every one of us will one day leave this world, unless we live to see Jesus return. And it's noble of him to try to encourage Americans and to strengthen Americans, as opposed to the focus being on his passing. And it's great to hear of his love for country and family. Obviously, you hope he had a deep relationship with the Lord and really knew the Lord, and for some reason didn't talk about that more here That's obviously what matters most. But now people are analyzing what he had to say, because his family had said they didn't want Trump at the funeral. And when Senator McCain says here, "You're not to spare of our present difficulties," doesn't mean the Trump presidency. I mean, this is just stuff that's being discussed now. And on, this is going to keep going now, long after Senator McCain has left us, because of the vitriol between Senator McCain and President Trump. And who said what, who did what, I'm going to leave for others to figure out. All I want to say is this. Number one, we've always had issues as human beings because of sin. Remember, Abel kills Cain. The firstborn child to the human race kills his brother. Doesn't get much worse than that. So we've always had problems. We have always done evil. It's not new in one generation or another. It gets amplified in certain ways. It gets brought to the surface in certain ways. You know, what the Nazis did was more evil than what anyone had done before, but not because people were less evil before. It's just there was technology to carry out more atrocities in a more systematic way than had existed before. So we've always had a sin problem, and it's part of our nature, and without the cross, we're doomed. That's number one. Number two, social media, the internet, these things have amplified the problem, amplified the incivility, amplified the nastiness, especially when hiding behind anonymity, especially when cloaked in internet pseudonyms and things like that. Now, that being said, there's more and more transparency on the internet that you know who people are, but what they say, the vulgarity of it, the ugliness of it, the profanity of it, the extreme nature of it is shocking. That's number two. Number one, always had a sin problem. Number two, the internet has amplified it, as a previous caller said. And number three, I believe that the presidency of Donald Trump has further exacerbated the issues. That is my take. All right? That the presidency, Donald Trump, the nature of who he is, the divisive figure that he is, the polarizing figure that he is, and much of it intentionally, it must be his way of getting attention, that has amplified the problem even further. So let's say the internet has amplified it, the presidency of Donald Trump has exacerbated it. Absolutely. All right, friends, we'll be back with your calls, and I've got a word of encouragement, and then what can we do? I want to be practical. I want to be helpful. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've got a radical proposal. All right? Let's make a positive difference. How's that? Let's make a positive difference. If you have light, bring light into the darkness. If you have wisdom, bring wisdom into the confusion. If you have maturity, bring maturity into the immaturity. If you've got something biblical to say, bring it in a practical way. There's no reason for us to be attacking one another the way we do. I remember after the suicide of a prominent Christian leader, Rick Warren's son, committing suicide, and there are all these charges flying, and well, the son was gay, and the father suppressed it, and that's why he committed suicide for this. Well, Rick Warren, it's like, what are you, the guy's, his wife, they just lost their son. Honor the kid, and honor the parents. What in the world is this? But that's the world we live in today. You know, Paul encouraged us in Colossians to always have our speech seasoned with salt, full of grace. Here, there are plenty of things I can point to that I do wrong, areas in my life where I need to continue to grow in the Lord and be more like Jesus. And hopefully I can point to some areas where I can be a good role model as well. And hopefully you see on the show, and if you read my articles or watch my videos, you know that we can address all kinds of hot, controversial subjects, but we do so in a way that's gracious and that's truthful and that's fair. So, yeah, I'm hated day and night for the stands I take. You think the world's going to treat me or you better than it treated Jesus? Aren't we told the exact opposite in Scripture? Yes, we are. But, very simply, we can make a difference. And I hear that constantly, people thanking me for being gracious with those I differ with. Look, the differences are there. We spell them out. We lay them out. We don't compromise. But we can do things in a way that's so self-righteous, so arrogant, that almost guaranteed will provoke and produce more opposition and will end up with more heat than light. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not. You know me. I'm not talking compromise. I'm not talking watering things down. I'm not talking obscuring issues and blurring lines. To the contrary, let the differences be seen clearly. One thing we learn in Genesis 1 is God separates. There must be separation. There must be clarity. There must be distinction between light and darkness. Yes. And if we shine light in dark places, people will hate us for it. But a lot of times we get hated because of who we are. A lot of times we get hated because of how we respond. Not so much what we say, but how we say it. And by the way, I've got a word of encouragement for you from Scripture coming in a moment. As I was reading the word, reading 2 Timothy, it jumped in me. And I just want to share this with you in a moment. But let's grab a call first. We'll go to Ogden, Utah. Bonnie, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
I appreciate almost everything you say and your attitude toward life. And that's exactly what prompted me to call today, is to say, you know, we can judge and we can be harsh, and it's getting more every day that we do that, that we pick on the negative more than we ever see the good. And I feel, if people had to walk in Donald Trump's shoes for one day, I think that there would be more compassion and more decency toward him, even with his faults, because he's constantly attacked. Nobody that I've heard says a whole good thing about him. They might like some of the things he does, but they always start out attacking him first. And then say what he's doing this or this that's good. And I believe you're not going to get any good out of a person if you're continually making him feel backed into a corner and attacked. And so I sympathize with him.
Yeah, and Bonnie, first, thank you so much for your kind words. But just in general life, it's true that when you feel constantly attacked, you're going to fight back. And let's recognize that whoever's in office, so President Obama daily getting attacked in the harshest terms from the right and the extreme right, and now President Trump getting attacked from the left and extreme left and from others as well. And yet we have, I am very glad that I'm not the president of the United States first. I'm sure you're all glad also, because for a host of reasons that I'm not the president of the United States. But I could not imagine for a second what the spiritual attack would be like, what the attack in the natural would be like, the pressure, the decisions you have to make. It's amazing that people make it through. Obviously, you've got to be a certain caliber of person to make it that far. So Trump in his world and politicians in their world to get where they got. And I understand how emotions can come up in extreme ways when we mention the name Donald Trump on all sides. But let's look at the larger principle Bonnie's talking about, which is judging one another with compassion first, as opposed to harshness first. Let's judge fairly and righteously. But, you know, one reason that I'm more willing to give other people the benefit of the doubt or try to understand them more graciously is because God's dealt with me very graciously. You know, I'm always right, always thinking I was right, and especially in my earliest days in the Lord and just judging so many others so narrowly, you know, and then you realize how much mercy God has on you. that we're not going to compromise stands, but there's a way we can do things. Hey, James, Jacob, the second chapter, mercy triumphs over judgment. Something to chew on. Hey, thank you, Bonnie, for the call. Are we too judgmental? I think so. I think many of us are. And as a believing community, in our zeal for truth, in our hatred of heresy, in our desire to expose error, yeah, I think many of us are too judgmental. And yes, yes, I recognize others don't judge at all. In my book, Playing with Holy Fire, I say plainly that as Pentecostals and Charismatics, we've not done a good enough job of policing ourselves, and I believe others on the other side have gotten into hyper-policing. Okay. All right. Let me just change subjects and give you a word of encouragement from Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, but in particular, verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes to his young disciple Timothy, "Remember Jesus the Messiah, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound." Ah, now think of this. Paul writes letters from prison, like Philippians, for example. He writes these letters from prison, and these letters are among the most read words of any human being on the planet ever. The words of Paul. He was in a prison. He's going to be beheaded by Nero. John Bunyan, imprisoned for his stands. And what happens? His works, written in prison, become some of the most translated, most read works penned by any human being. Here's what I was reminded of. We might face increasing internet censorship. We might face increasing government censorship. We might face increasing penalties. We might face increasing challenges for speaking the truth in love, for spreading the faith. It is possible that the internet may censor different believing voices, but it can't ultimately censor the Word of God. And I don't care how many good means of communication are shut down, and I'm doing my best to stand with others to fight against censorship and to fight against these platforms being shut down. And my issue with a Facebook or a YouTube is not that they are owned by me or you. They're private companies that can do as they want. Yet the whole way they built their platform was with certain guidelines and certain stipulations and certain agreements. So we've worked very, very hard as a team for years to increase our platform so we can reach millions online. Then when the very people that you've worked with based on certain guidelines now violate those guidelines, that to me is the ethical issue. That to me is what needs to be challenged. But even if every medium shut down, can't shut down the word, you can't shut down the gospel. So I want to speak to each of you listening, watching, taking this in any form. I want to speak to each of you to encourage you. If God has given you a message, if God has put something in your heart that others need to hear, if God himself has done that, he can get that message out. He can get that message out regardless of what challenges lie before you, regardless of whether anyone knows your name, regardless of whether you have anyone backing you. God is able to get the message out. The biggest thing is to be in an intimate, deep relationship with him, walking in faith and walking in obedience. If you'll do that, you'll find blessing. And maybe it's not the right time for the message. Maybe you need to be refined. Maybe the message needs to be refined. Maybe the environment needs to be changed so it is ready for the message. But if you'll honor the Lord, if he's given something to you, nobody can stop it. Not a church, not a denomination, not a spiritual leader, not a political leader, not the media, nobody. God knows how to get your message out. Even if we are chained, the word of God is not chained. Even if we are censored, the word of God cannot be censored. Hey, we've got a great interview tomorrow with Professor Jay Richards. Are robots going to replace humans? Coming your way next.